We're back again. This is conversation 93, Dwayne.
Yes, sir.
And we're together again virtually today.
Yes.
Good to see you over the monitor screen here. So, yeah. But hey, we're back. We're back again. We're going to try this again, as we always do, and see how successful we can be. But first of all, we always say thank you to our listeners and the people that support this adventure and everything we try to do around here. It's much appreciated, and thank you for listening and all that other good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for sticking with us.
Yes. Yeah. Love it. Yep. Yeah. And thanks to the patrons. Always grateful for that, that help to keep the lights on and pay some stuff and actually give some money and give some things away. So that's, it's kind of coming from all you. So thank you for that.
Reminds me, I have to update the list on the website.
Of the patrons?
Fresh, yeah, list of patrons, because there's been a few, a handful more over the last month or two.
Okay.
And we're not recognizing them on the website, so we'll do that.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. How about any emails? Any emails to read this week?
Yeah, I mean, we've a little bit negligent on email reading, so I'll just read one.
Okay.
So this one's from Eric DeBach. Hopefully I read that right.
Uh-huh.
His last name. Hey guys, I'm enjoying the new season. Thanks again for all your effort. I like the player focused approach. Reminds me of the one umpire focused episode you had last year or the year before. Then he asked about the quiz. Best of luck this spring season and with the podcast. Kind regards, Eric. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Eric.
Yep.
Always good to hear from others out there. Appreciate you taking the time to write something. Very nice.
Exactly.
Always love that. And then also, we're going to do another Rule 11 challenge today.
Rule 11 challenge.
Yeah. Who's joining us today?
We'll let him introduce himself.
There we go.
We know around. A hometown
friend, good old buddy of ours. Yes.
Yep. Yep. So,
okay.
See if we can stump him.
No, we won't stop him. He's too good. So look forward to that here coming up. And how do people reach us if they already don't know? Dwayne?
Email rule11officials@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Website is rule11officials.com. You be sure to subscribe to emails from us.
Yes.
Then Twitter @rule11officials. Of course, and if you want to do the Patreon thing, you can go to patreon.com/rule11.
There it is.
Yes.
There it is. So, hey, excuse me. Just had some dinner. We have a couple minutes before our guests. So real quick, how's your week been?
Pretty good. Pretty busy, actually. It's been a busy week for whatever reason. It's the beginning of a quarter at work.
And
that's when we do a lot of planning for and kind of figure out what we're doing. Has been a lot of meetings and conversations, which isn't my favorite thing to do, but yeah. Jumping on a bunch of Zoom meetings. But yeah, that's how that's been. But otherwise, everything's been just great, actually.
Good. That's good to hear. That's good.
About yourself?
Just about the same. Busy, good. Finishing up this week with a little sunshine.
That is nice. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's been good. Everything is well. Can't complain. And yeah, all is good. I mean, I got nothing else that's interesting to say, but it's been great. we're gonna talk with somebody today that we haven't we really don't know well, so this will be fun. Big 12, Michael Cooper. Looking forward to this. He was sent to us by somebody, I think.
Someone sent us an email. I want to say it was Michael, but I can't. And maybe it's not. Maybe it was somebody else. But
yeah.
Anyway, he'll
here nor there.
Hope and we'll talk to him. Long career. Should get a lot of you know, information out of him and kind of pick his brain a little bit. So,
yep. Looking forward to it. Meeting somebody new, expanding our footprint a little bit. We always try to move a little bit east we can. And Big 12 is kind of, you know, somewhat east and central. So, hey, we're just trying to meet some new folks. And this is a good opportunity. So we look forward to that. Hey, we mentioned the Rule 11 Challenge, right? We're going to do it again this week. Yeah. We're going to let him introduce himself. But with that said, we have hopefully a good question that maybe we can stump somebody tonight, but I doubt it. Like you said. So let's get ready to jump on the phone with tonight's contestant, and let's see if we can't learn something here tonight, huh?
All right, I think he's dialing in.
Okay, here we go.
That's penalty enforcement is one of them, because we can measure how long it takes to report, announce, enforce, and have the next ready for play.
I thought I had a better perspective of it. Mm-hmm. But when the game ended, I was able to look at it. I realized, no, he was dead right. I didn't even get involved. Right. So that's what I mean by just letting the pros be pros.
Right.
The important part of this
is
that, was it touched by Team B after it was beyond?
Even if you're not a good communicator, just have the will to be.
Mikey DeFee, who is one of my closest friends in the world. I'd never get in an airplane with him, but I get in his Ford F-150 truck. It's probably got a lift kit on it because he's not very tall.
Okay, Rule 11 Challenge, Dwayne. Rule 11 challenge. Like I said, we're going to let our wonderful contestant introduce himself. We didn't want to, you know, blow the thunder early. So so listen, I'm going to at least say your first name. Joel.
Joel.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys? Yeah.
Good.
Nice and sunny over here on the other side of the Washington State. So it's nice over here.
That's what I was going to say. Joel is from Spokane area, right, Joel? So it's the other half of our beautiful state where it just roams with desert pine trees. It's just beautiful over there in the city of Spokane. So we appreciate your time, Joel.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Could you talk about, well, we just said where you're from, but what do you do for a living, number of years officiating, what position you work in conference?
Sure. My name's Joel Murphy, and like you said, I'm from Spokane, and I am a high school special education teacher here in Spokane, and I've been working in special ed for about 18 years now after graduating college. I referee high school and college football, as well as high school and college basketball as well, and then in the spring, when we're not officiating football like we are this year, I tend to coach baseball, but that's going to start in a couple weeks just with all the seasons all jumbled around. So yeah. I'm pretty busy. I've been officiating football since 2002, and I started officiating college about 2009. Worked first for Mike Burton here in the Northwest, and worked a lot of Division III games, some Division II, and then in 2018, I was hired into the Big Sky, and I work in the Big Sky Conference for Carl Richens, and I am a side judge in the conference.
There we go. Awesome. Got them all.
Yeah,
you know, Joel,
tried to get them all.
Joel, you are a busy guy. I mean, that's pretty impressive, to be honest with you. High school and college football and basketball and a baseball coach. I mean, I'm telling you, that impresses me. I didn't know all that.
And the season's kind of going to one another. So
yeah,
you know, the football season ends and my wife goes, well, I guess I get to see you some more. No, not necessarily. Basketball starting up. So they kind of roll into each other.
Well, yeah, here we go. Okay. So, you know, you've probably heard this little thing we've done. So, you know, the format, Dwayne will show you or share his screen when I'm allow him to and then he will, so you can see it and he'll read it and we'll go from there. So Dwayne, you can share at any moment and we can get going.
All right. Here we go. Can you see that, Joel?
I can see it.
All right. I'm going to read it and feel free to ask any questions if we wrote it poorly and you need more information.
That's potentially.
All right. So A, second and seven at the A 45, ball's at position three. A 7 sees team B struggling with their attempt to rotate players. Team A has not substituted. So A 7 quickly snaps the ball with 12 players on the field. A 7 pitches to A 33, who runs and is forced out of bounds at the 50 yard line, outside of position five. So we have position in the question, so that's going to be part of the answer, the ball position.
Yes, and thank you for starting at the A45 and giving me 7 yards, so I have to go over the 50. So those questions are always fun, so thank you for that. so it looks like they got to get to the B48 for this to be a first down. We have a rule change in 2020 with if Team B is struggling. This is, and they have 12 players on the field, what we see here, that is going to be a live ball foul. We let the play happen. The side judge, the back judge, and the field judge should all throw their penalty flags. But we do have the A gained five yards on the play, and they went to position five. They started at position three. So obviously, the question we want to ask the coach is, are we going to have third and two? Or, third and two, or second and two? And obviously, they're probably going to go ahead and take second and two at the 50-yard line. So we're going to toss our flag and go second and two at the 50-yard line. And, since the coach is going to say that we'll go ahead and enforce the penalty, I believe we're going to enforce it from the position three spot, 5 yards, and that ball is going to be at position three once again.
Like it.
So I'll go second and two at the 50-yard line at position three.
Love it.
All right.
Absolutely love it. And you know what? This, you know, I like to call this a layup, but it's not, because of a couple reasons. And I love that you talked every point about it because of the penalty statement and the penalty of previous spot enforcement. Sometimes we can get duked into running play, defensive foul, tack it on, that type of thing. So I love that you walked all through that and explained it very, very eloquently. Thank you, Joel.
And you see a lot of these position type of situations where you really have to think them through on defensive pass interference situations.
Yep.
Especially like we're in the red zone, that type of stuff, because it could be a spot foul and it could be previous spot and all that type of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Joel, you nailed it.
Yeah. One minor thing.
What did I win?
Wait, hold on.
Wait.
One minor thing before we, because I know people email us. We're probably not going to ask the coach that, right?
Yeah, probably not.
You're right. Five versus.
You are correct. Probably not going to ask the coach that, but you know, probably the line judge or the headlines will explain, here's what we're going to do, and the coach is going to be, yes, I understand. Perfect. You know.
Yeah. Yep. But if it was a different down and distance, like a first and 10, that might be a situation where you'd want to ask.
Absolutely. Or you know, and we're not going to ask them fourth down, but you know, obviously the other side coach would like to know why you're doing what you're doing as well.
Sure. Yep. Yep. Well, Joel, what you're going to get is whatever you want, you know, because Dwayne's going to send you something and you can go get whatever you'd like.
I'll send you a little coupon code and you go shopping at the vast selections in the Rule 11 swag store.
Perfect. So, there you go. Perfect. There you go. I'll wear it to all my games and all the other officials want to buy the same thing. So that'd be perfect.
There you go.
There you go. Some advertising. Awesome. Yeah.
Joel, thank you so much for your time. Thank
you. Thanks, guys. And thanks for what you do with Rule 11. We sure appreciate you.
All right, Joel. Good to see you.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye now. Dwayne, Joel did it perfectly. I mean, we didn't even need to do anything. He walked through everything. He even gave the opportunity to decline. He gave everything in that place. So that was, he did a great job. So we thank Joel for his time.
Yeah. Even though we won't ask the coach, I do like the fact that he's thinking of what happens if you decline versus accepting.
Yep.
And I know that gets me sometimes. They used to get me a lot on tests. Like sometimes I go too fast and I never thought about the decline option.
Yeah, always enforcing. That's right. That's another, that's just in that kind of another level of, either on the field thinking, situational awareness and situational awareness on a paper test. So there we go.
Good job.
Okay. Joel, thank you. And look for something in the mail. Thanks again, Joel. All right, Dwayne, here we go. Here we go. Just like we said, hey, Mr. Michael Cooper, umpire in the Big 12 Conference, is joining us tonight. A new guest for us.
Yes.
Be exciting to learn a little bit about Michael tonight. So,
yeah, welcome, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
You were a recommendation, actually, for somebody. Yes. Somebody sent us an email. Yep. And said, you should have Michael Cooper on. He's been around for a long time and done a lot of great things. Matthew Loughran, I think that's his last name. So that's how we got your name. So,
okay.
Yep.
Well represented. So, listen.
I hope to do some justice then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everybody does. I mean, this is a unique thing here. So, hey, usually what we do is we talk about a career overview, how you got to where you're at today, where you started, who got you started, all that good stuff. So if you want to give us a career overview, per se, that would be great.
Yes. I it's funny that you say that. I got started actually from a coworker of mine that worked at the Postal Service with me. I actually used to be a peewee football coach.
Okay.
And after winning a couple of championship games, they decided they didn't want me around because I was a disciplinarian for the kids. And so a good friend of mine, Larry Bassett, God bless his soul, he introduced the game to me from an officiating standpoint. He said, well, since you got fired from doing that, why don't you come over here and get at least get a check?
Yeah.
And so I went out there with him one time and it was like love at first sight. So I've always been around the game and so I just enjoyed it. So from that standpoint, after joining the chapter and he was a high school referee, but he never wanted to advance his career. But he gave me a pretty good recipe, and that was to educate myself as much about the rules and about the game as possible. And so that's how I got started. I started back in 1994.
Okay. Where at? Are you in Texas?
Yes, Dallas. Texas. Well, I'm in the Dallas chapter. Everybody around the country might know me as the mayor of Redbird, so we'll leave that right there.
That's gotta be a story there.
So, hey, real quick question before we move forward. I pick things that you say and ask a little follow up. So, this is Cravon, Pac-12 line. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So Cravon, you and Cravon have, I believe it was Cravon. I want to make sure I get this right. You have something in common. I believe before you both officiated, you both coached lower level football. And according to Cravon, he had his first 15 scripted. So let me ask you, when you were winning championships, did you have your first 15 plays scripted like Cravon did? Is that how you won those championships in the Pee Wee Leagues?
No. I actually just went in with the old school mentality. We're going to push it right down your throat.
There you go.
And it's your job to stop us. And if stop us, we'll come back.
There you go. Okay. There you go.
So you started out in the Dallas chapter. How did you make that transition from high school into college?
Good question. So actually, I got very blessed and the supervisor of the SWAC at the time happened to live in Dallas.
Okay.
And he was just out watching football one day and he saw me working. And of course, he asked another gentleman who I was. And he told a senior official, he said, "Hey, I like that young guy right there." He say, "He's just a little lazy. And he get a little step on him, a sense of urgency, after he spot the ball and this and that and that and that." And I was like, and when the guy told me, I was like, "Sure, that's very easy to fix. I can fix that. That's my strength is running. I just, And so it went from there. I joined the SWAC in 2000.
Okay.
I became a member of the SWAC as an umpire.
And, okay.
4 years after that, I moved on to Conference USA and worked 3 years there and then to the Big 12 all the way up until this past season where I retired off the field.
Okay.
I don't think we knew that.
We knew that. Yeah. That we didn't know. So.
Well, congratulations to you on such a long career.
Thank you. Well, it wasn't as long as I would have liked it to, but the thing about officiating is that you have to know to listen to your body.
Uh-huh.
And the game, it'll let you know. Your body will let you know when you've had enough, not unless you're just out there and you're doing a disservice to the game.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've always believed in working high level football and doing things the correct way as far as mechanical and things like that. And anybody that worked with me, they also have to be on that same page or else I might have a couple of my good Baptist Christian words for them.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Did you know prior to the start of 2020 season that was going to be your last, or was it something that you kind of felt throughout the season that you were going to make it your last year?
No, actually 2019 was my last.
Okay. So you didn't work the COVID season.
I apologize.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to realize now I'm an old man. I just don't look old.
Yeah. You don't. You look great.
No, I'm not that old. Yeah. But 2019 was my last year, and it was the 150th season.
Yes.
And my season didn't end the way I would have, my career didn't end the way I would have liked it to. But, that's the whole thing about football. You never know when your last game is. That's why you're supposed to enjoy every game, and you never minimize none of them, I could think back in my earlier days when I first got off into college football, especially when I got into the Big 12, I was always in a rush to go look at the schedule just to see what game I was in. And the longer you do that, the worse it gets. So I've learned that, you just have to, whatever game you work, it's the most important one. Huh. And then one of the older gentlemen shared with me some very good knowledge. He said, they pay the same amount of money for that high profile game as they do as the one that's off the radar.
Uh-huh.
And that's right. It made all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
Does
make sense, right?
Same expectations.
Sure.
So I was a part of one of the most talked about crews ever in the country of college football. One year, I think we worked like 9 of the top 10 teams in the country.
Mm. Wow.
And it was just an amazing schedule. And, you know, I just said that just to say this here right here. When someone assigns you a game, most people, if you're an official, you're going to accept that assignment. So
yeah.
I used to tell guys, hey, don't get mad at me. I didn't assign none of the games to myself. So, but it's been a great, great, great run for me. Yeah. So,
Speaking of,
go ahead,
Glenn. I was going to say, speaking of games, I'm sure you have a couple of more memorable games over your career. Do you have a couple that kind of stand out for you?
I love competitive games, but the first year West Virginia came into the conference, they played Baylor, and the score was like 70-63.
Wow. Not running that game.
You know, the killer part about it is, you know, it's like umpire out there to score, you always going on the opposite side of the press box and visit a coach. And I remember Baylor was down by 2 or 3 touchdowns or whatever. And I can remember Coach Brown saying, "Hey, big man, we not through." I said to myself. He said they not through, and man, they must have scored. They like I say, it was 70-63, and it wasn't overtime.
Wow. So that when you said that, reminded me when you came in the conference, the offenses must have looked a lot different than when you left. When you left the field in 2019, you talk about like that change from in offenses.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So here's something that's very unique about, like you're saying about that transformation. Mm-hmm. So when they started doing the center judge position, it was actually called the alternate.
Right.
It was a alternate referee is what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity actually to be on the development part of the mechanics and stuff like that for center judge. And so Walt Anderson, when he approached me about it, he gave me a one of those GoPro cameras and a helmet and, you know, Walt Anderson has always been probably 5 steps in front of everyone in football officiate. And I can remember he took that video from there or whatever. And we were just doing a little scrimmage or whatever. And he asked me, how did I like it? And I said, I don't know, because I was used to my athletics getting me, you know, to the side zone. I took pride in that. I took pride in getting deeper than any umpire because they said all umpires are lazy, and that's just a myth, and because they're probably some of the hardest working officials out
there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But so back to another game that was very memorable to me, and this is going to be in line right with what you were saying. So we had Baylor in Oklahoma. That's when R.G. Griffin was playing there. R.G.3, whatever his name was. But I remember so both teams were competitive, and this was a Thursday night game. And the unique part about it is, you guys probably know little Walt Coleman. He used to be on my crew, and when he was working at the alternate referee position, he was running around like a little jitterbug, and he got a whole sense of a difference about the middle after he realized what he didn't know about what we were actually doing in there. And so when the schedule came out and they had me to do it, at the A position, and of course everybody was like talking about how fast you got to be and all this and that. And half of the conference was calling and texting me and making jokes. I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to see this. And I was like, I can't either. I said, because I'm going to show you guys how it's supposed to be done. And hence that went away, that fast pace of a guy just running up in there. And so, you know, Walt would take all of that video stuff and he would, he was able to sell the country on it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. That was the best way for us to officiate this new type of offense. So, you know, and so I'll tell you my last story about that position, because you almost had it right by me being a center judge. So, you know, if you officiate the game long enough, you're going to always have a bad game, bad year, or whatever. You know, if you keep officiating, something's going to happen. You're going to have a bad something.
Sure.
Well, I think I had worked my worst possible year as an umpire, and I knew I wasn't going to get a postseason assignment. And I was surprised because I did get a postseason assignment, but it wasn't at umpire, and it was at center judge, and I hadn't worked that position the whole entire year. Mm-hmm. And so it just goes to show you that supervisors, if they have confidence in what you're doing, you know, they'll put you in that situation. Now, again, that mm-hmm. made a whole lot of officials mad. But, like I say, Dwayne, would you turn down that assignment?
No, sir.
You know, so I took that assignment.
Yep, they assign them, you just accept them.
That's right.
That's how it works.
Never apologize for that. I'm glad you mentioned that. We've heard that locally with, you know, some of the lower levels, they kind of get a little uptight about that. And you just got to, you know, take it what you get. And if you, as Tom Quick would say, you don't like it, get better and we'll see what happens. But
that's my buddy. That's yeah. my buddy.
Yeah.
Tom, I love that saying.
Yes.
If you don't like your schedule, get better. And that is absolutely
that's
the truth.
That's a fact. Yep.
You have to get better if you want better assignments.
That's right.
You know, I mean, when the supervisor put you into one of those contests, any contest really, they're putting you in there for a reason, because they have confidence that you can work that game or that level of a game.
Sure.
But I can remember we would have a schedule set in stone, and Walt Anderson would come in and, like, if that game became probably a little bit more higher profile because of what it was going to mean for the standings, he might change one or two officials out of it. I've seen where he's changed the whole crew before.
Mm-hmm.
And probably not necessarily nothing that crew did. He just probably didn't feel comfortable with them. And so, like when you're saying, when you're in a crew setting, you want to push everybody on your crew to get better. And if they're not trying to get better, I need everybody around me always trying to get better.
Sure.
And that's just the name of it, you know. And so I'm a little different. I'm different than most because of I know. If I'm gonna be out there busting my butt, you better be on top of your game.
That's right.
And really, being on top of your game is really just one simple thing: just you doing your job.
Yeah, there it is.
You know, and that's one of the things that I've always like different crews I worked in. One year we got in that thing, we was always talking about DYJ, do your job, DYJ, mm-hmm. do DYJ. And I got mad one day, not mad, maybe my attitude might have changed one day. And I said, no, it's DYF job. And you can make that up into whatever you want to.
Sure.
Great job, fun job.
Yeah.
freaking job.
Yeah.
Fantastic job. Whatever floats your boat. So,
that's right. Yeah.
And so you have to be that way with your crewmates and, you know, and so you can't be afraid to ruffle those feathers.
Right.
You know.
You know, I know for me, I think the biggest fear, at least for me personally, is to maybe know in my brain that I might be the weakest link on a great crew. And so what do I got to do to not be that guy? You know, as you said, we always got to work. So, but I think that's a good trait of most officials, at least at the NCAA level. It's like, we strive to be as good as we can be at all levels, D3, D2, D1, FCS, FBS, whatever. And that's what I love so much about it, is because everybody's competing and they want to compete and they want to thrive and they want to be good and they want those assignments, they want those playoff games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what's so fun about this thing, is it's competitive, but the people are good. And what's that word? Competitive with cooperation. What's that word? Yeah.
Coopetition.
Yeah. So, you know, we all, you know, help each other out too.
Coopetition.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a new one. I know I won't remember that word.
I won't either.
I am a straight shooter.
Yes.
And so I love solid officiating. If it's not solid, I'll just so happen to say it.
Say
I
don't, it.
You know, but
not wrong with that.
I'm working on that. You know, Tyler, I'm trying to become a better me, I guess.
Yeah. Well, hey, there we go.
I don't have to worry about it now because I'm not on the field, but we'll see what future endeavors might come my way and see what happens there.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely let us know. So one of the things Matthew mentioned that who recommended you that you do pretty good film work. How much film did you watch kind of during your years on the field? Yeah.
Tons of it. I go all the way back to film watching back from, it was a NFL ref umpire, Andre Wash. I used to tape all of his game. He taught me a lot of little intricate things about reading players and just the understanding and stuff like that about, you know, just knowing what the play might be, you know, and that's our job as officials is that, you know, we have to, you know, especially in my latter years, I was the scout for our crew. Mm-hmm. And I would actually scout. I would really trip the guys out because sometimes I'd come in and tell them, well, according to what I see, this is what they probably should be doing. This is what they're going to be doing. You know, if it was things like stretch plays, I would hammer in on the referee and center judge and make sure that they're getting what they need to get, probably because I made to make sure I'm getting all of my second level blocks. And those little things like that, if you have to, Tyler, you have to, Dwayne, you have to just discuss those with your crewmates. Because, I mean, you know, it's nothing like having a good, a great pregame official, and then when you get out on the field, he don't do nothing he said he was gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been in the game, you probably know what I'm talking about. And so those type of guys, and if you recognize that person on your crew, because they, I always say, when I hear the BS, I call it out, and I say, "It's good you remembered your Easter speech." Now tell me what you really gonna do, because you want to know. I want to know, because if you got a weakness, we can fix that before we even get out there. At least we can try to. We can talk about it. We can recognize some things, and especially when you get all the different type of crazy formations. Because I remember Oklahoma State was notorious for running like different trick plays from scrimmage kick formation and stuff like that. And so when we picked those little things up in the film, when soon as the back judge recognized this guy, he said, okay, here you go. Okay, so now everybody know what's been to come on the crew.
Sure.
That's old 2-0, right? It's just like you have to use the tools that you have. And if you got 0-2-0, you know, and everyone in the Division One basically have those 0-2-0 communication system. And, you know, it's just like saying whether a guy is in the box or out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would do things like that. After a free kick, every time after a free kick, I always had my back judge to let me know what time that ball hit the ground.
Okay.
You know, and you say, why? Because if we getting that ball down at 26, 27, we doing something, you know, it ain't that much. You know, of course, we're going to clean up. But if we're getting the ball down that late, then I'm saying, well, guys, either you didn't have your ball boy in position, so meaning you didn't do your job. You didn't coach that ball boy good. So. You know, like we say, it's accountability everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I'm just using that as an example of just saying, hey, that's how it have to be if you want to have success on the field.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So, like, since you mentioned that success, you've had such a long career. Like, what are some things that helped you kind of maintain such a great career, long career? Do you have any bits of advice? Like you shared some of it with us, you know, watching film and doing your job, doing your F job. but do you have anything else that you would say helped you out?
Things that you guys are doing now, you're going to be surprised at how much that benefits you down the line. I'll tell any official, if you really want to see a growth spurt, start teaching, start instructing, now you got to know what you're talking about when you get in these settings, you know, because people, they'll call you out on it if you don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, a lot of guys will get in there and they'll just start talking because they just have heard some things. But, you know, I always believe this is just my way of thinking and officiating. Everything you do on the field, it's a reason why you do it.
Mm.
And if you don't know why you're doing something, that means you're not in tune with your game. Your game is, you know, you just out there, you don't even know why you're doing some things, you know. You don't know why you are working a play inside and out. You don't know why you would drop that ping peg there. You know what I'm saying? You don't have an understanding about double action and everything like that. And so when you start recognizing stuff like that with guys and you start, especially if you start talking to guys about double action, what position you guys work?
I work on the line of scrimmage.
Okay. Gotcha. So you know what I'm talking about, double action.
Dwayne does. Yeah.
Right. And so you should take pride in getting those spots.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it to you like this, like Lil Walt told me, he said, that's what I get paid for, is to get spots. If he don't get, I mean, you're talking about a guy that used to get totally upset because he missed a spot maybe by, you know, not an inch or whatever. But, you know, and that's the competitiveness. Like you say, it's a competitive, it's a very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to, Derek Anderson had that great spot in the national championship game.
Yeah.
And I actually called Derek because Derek and I worked my last bowl game. He worked in the last bowl game when we were in the Peach Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called Derek and I said, hey, man, you did a good job. I say, whatever. I said, I know you've had a lot of people call you and told you how great of a job you did and all that. I said, Derek, you just really just did your job. And he actually like, thanks, man. That's what I needed. I don't want to hear all that because you don't want to hear that. Because if you do and you start feeding that, you say, all of a sudden you stick your chest out a little bit. I didn't arrive. I'm that good. Everybody talking about me. Nah, man, you just, you know, you wait till another plate come.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't put yourself in that position. And you know, and so like, I always look at officials on this level right here. I would say there's two type of officials. There's an average and there's a good official. I don't believe in great officials. You might make a great call, but you may maybe only make one great call in your whole career. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, this is from my study.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some guys walk around and think they make a great call every week. Well, I mean, really? If you're doing your job, there's nothing great about that. You know, you're just doing your job. And sometimes when things are magnified like that, because it was in the national championship game, of course, that's great stuff.
Right.
But it's nothing that where, as an official, I expected him to be excited about.
Sure.
You know, it's just like in replay. What position you work, Tyler? I didn't catch that one.
Back judge.
Back judge. Oh, yes, you got to watch my back all the time. So
yes, sir.
We're good.
Yep.
So here's what I would tell you, Dwayne, if you were working on one of the flanks for me, I would want to make sure you always gave me a soft spot. And my reason for it is, like I say, you have to have a reason for doing everything. And so my reason to you would be because you might get them all the time. I don't know. But I'm saying if you didn't, I would let you know. And I wouldn't wait till we get in the locker room. As soon as I got an opportunity, I'm going to let you know because I want you to correct it then and not later. And I'm going to hold you accountable to it, right? Because I want you to hold me accountable to whatever it is. And so you probably heard this saying, if you don't have thick skin, especially you're on the sideline, you know how those coaches yell at y'all, right?
Yeah.
I have to come over there after every scope. Tyler, you have to go over there too. Every time you throw a DPI, that coach got something to say to you when you get over on his sideline.
That's right. He's waiting. He's just waiting.
Yeah. Dwayne, I'm going over there smiling every time. I'm happy to see you, coach, because I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I am that in tune to what's happening. You know, you say, well, do you say you don't make mistakes? Oh, no, not by a long stretch. But what I do is I be honest with coaches. And that's what coaches are looking for. Coaches want you to be honest and they want you to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, the best thing you can do is just tell that coach, I missed that one.
Yeah.
I missed it. You saying it happened like you saying it happened, I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me throw in another war story.
Yeah.
One of the most exciting games I ever worked was Oklahoma, Florida State. And this year was right before Florida State won their two national championship games, right?
Okay.
And all night, I remember when, after the game, I was still hearing it say, oh! And man, it went on and on and on. And because that was their first sellout in a while. And it was a very good game. I don't remember who won.
Well, anyway, was it at Florida State?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes, it was. And so they were down at the close to the goal line. Oklahoma was punting out of their end zone. And this linebacker on the second level, he made the little non-football move with the stone. And, of course, I didn't see it. I had no idea. And that's what I'm saying with some of the little things like that. And until you teach yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, they end up blocking the punt or whatever, because I called a false start on Oklahoma and pinned them back further in their end zone. They end up getting a safety or whatever. And when I went to the sideline, Coach Stoops, you know, he pulled the headphones off, threw them down and talking all that. And he was standing up there and I'm standing up there. He's standing right behind me talking to me. And he said, Wolf said this way we doing it. And he was going on and on and on. I said, Coach, I didn't see what you saying happened. I say, I'm not saying that didn't happen. I say, but right now I think I'm right about what I'm saying. I say, I got you in probably the next 2 or 3 weeks. So, you know, I'm going to go look at this film and see.
Uh-huh.
Well, the next game I had him, it was at Texas, Oklahoma. And I walked up to him and I said, Coach, you were right. I say, but I fixed that problem. I say, and he stopped me in my tracks. He said, when you told me that you were going to go look at it, I was satisfied because he said, I knew then that you was sincere about, you know, mm-hmm. being fair about the whole situation and you just probably missed it. He said, hell, I miss.
Yeah.
I don't call the right plays all the time. And that really solidified mm-hmm. me knowing that, man, you just got to be honest with those coaches and stuff like that. And they'll respect you. It's when you try to feed them some BS.
Yeah.
Right.
They probably smell it and sift it out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just like anything you do in life. You know, guys can tell if you just saying it just to be saying something or whatever. Yeah.
I love that. I really love that you shared that story, because I think that it proved that both of you from an official standpoint and a coaching standpoint can have a common respect. Is like, hey, I gave you what I thought I knew, and I told you I'm gonna go check it out, and it sounded like he appreciated that honesty. So that those are the things that love to hear over and over again, because that's what we need at the lower levels to really, really hammer on is just be honest and communicate what they want. Sometimes these guys just want to, you know, talk and let them talk. You know, maybe they don't even want you to talk. I don't know. Great example. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've actually had some coaches that was really, really out. I won't call his name because I have a tendency of calling people names, but I really don't care because I care. But here's the thing. That's what's wrong with our society now, mm-hmm. is that everybody want to hide behind everything. And it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
But anyway, the coach was like just going off, and I was like trying to get him back to the sideline because it was after a score or whatever. And as I was walking him back, he said, I don't mean to be doing this, he said, but I got to do something to make my
booster.
The booster club happy. I said, well, go ahead on, coach. I said, you can stomp a couple of times. I said, just don't get over aggressive with it. Yeah. And he laughed about it. But, you know, it went on. I was able to go ahead on and get him back off the field. And, you know, he's still raving, running or whatever. And, you know, but, you know, if you know what you got or whatever, and, you know, the coach tell you, this is one of the most coaches' favorite lines. You're not gonna like that when you see it.
Yeah,
coach. When I look at it and I see it, if I see him again and say, "Coach, you're right. I didn't like that." You talk about gaining credibility.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you know, that's those gentlemen's livelihood.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to be on point and on cue. I used to get on guys about even balls and stuff. And you know, I want the ball mechanics to be perfect. We can do those things. And if you're not trying to do those little things in your game, you're not going to have the success that you want.
Sure.
To get those assignments.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, let me ask you one more quick question.
Yeah.
You mentioned one of your seasons where you had, you know, 9 of the 10 teams that were in the top 10 throughout the country. What year was that? And who was on your crew, if you don't mind talking about that?
So I had my good buddy Scott Novak was the referee.
Okay.
And, Walt Coleman, line judge, Jay Taylor was the field judge. Freeman Johns was the side judge. Al Green was our head lineman, and I think Mike DeFee was my back judge.
Okay, there you go. Solid.
So that season culminated by, at the end of the year, I ended up working the national championship, LSU in Alabama.
Oh, congratulations.
Wait a second.
We talked about memorable games.
We've been talking for however long, and you just going to mention just at the end that you worked the national championship game.
It wasn't at the top of the thing.
Yeah, it wasn't. It didn't match up with the 70-63 West Virginia.
Well,
right. No.
I didn't know. Oh, okay. Well, see, you got it. It's the way you ask the question.
Okay. I'm saying, I like memorable games. I thought that'd be number one.
Actually not.
No,
it really is not. Yeah. I would say probably my most memorable game, but I've had a lot of good memorable games, but that one was not because, like I said, I like competitive game. This game here, it was 21-0. LSU didn't cross midfield until late in the third quarter. And it was just
one-sided.
Yeah. So I remember before Alabama just started making their runs.
Mm-hmm.
So since you say I just threw in the national championship, I throw this in here. I worked the 75th Sugar Bowl.
Okay.
Utah in Alabama, and man, Utah took it to them.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the year Utah went undefeated. I think it was.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they played in the Sugar Bowl, and that was a very exciting game because if you ever been in a stadium when Alabama is playing and they think that's the football measuring stick, and they until someone can beat them consistently, I guess they are. But
is that with Urban Meyer, the Utah team?
No, it was Kyle Willingham.
Oh, he was there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, hey, no.
No big deal. No, I'm just just messing with you.
Yeah. Just playing around.
Yeah.
Hey, so one more quick thing.
Yeah.
I just slipped my mind. It just left me. Go ahead, Dwayne, if you got something. Maybe we'll come back.
Yeah. So you said you've retired. I know you have. You've been working camps and things like that. Been a clinician before, helping younger officials. Are you still planning to do a lot of that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. That part there. You know, a good buddy of mine told me, sir. He said, "Man, you've taken so much from the game. Won't you? You got to give some back. You've taken so much." And, and his definition of taking back is just, I've learned so much and all this and that. And so you don't want to take all that and then just go sit on the couch and just hang it up.
Right.
So,
right.
No, I like staying active with, all of the younger guys, even though now, since I came out to Philly, like, I don't know what I'm talking about, but.
Okay.
That's,
yeah,
we could talk about that, but that's people, that's ego.
Yeah.
When you start thinking, you don't, when you start thinking, you know, everything is, you can't learn anything. So.
No, no. When you get a promotion.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I made it now. So I know everything.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That was my question. Now, you talked to earlier about, you get more out of being the, when you start to be the teacher, you want to get that next like level of jump in your performances, become a teacher or a clinician or whatever. And that was my question. So you, hopefully you're still staying on board and helping out when you can and younger officials or clinics and camps, stuff like that. So
absolutely.
Yeah, like, thanks for answering,
I love the clinic setting, but like, say like I'm here in Dallas and, we used to have a very big, we used to think we were the best officials in the country when I first started working. And that's kind of disappeared because now, I don't want to say it's just a millennial or it's a new way of officiating, but guys just feel entitled or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't see hunger from officials like it was when I was coming up.
Interesting.
And then it's just like, Tyler, if you tell me to come watch your game, you and Dwayne working the game, don't expect me to come in and say, hey, man, you guys did a really good job.
that's not what I want. That's not what I want.
Exactly. Because if I do that to you, only thing, watch yourself. When guys hear that, you know what? They start believing that. Mm. Oh, Tyler can't watch me. He told me, oh man, I look really good. They start believing that.
Yeah.
And then some, and then here come Dwayne, come right behind you. Oh man, oh Joe, man, Joe can go. Joe can work.
Yeah.
Well, Joe get the big head. Cut two or three people and said he was good.
Yeah.
And you know. That's not what young officials should be looking for. And I'm going to tell you why I said that is because when I'm here and available for guys, and when they didn't take, when guys wouldn't take advantage of that, I quickly learned that guys don't want to get better. Mm. They say they do, but they want it instant, quick. I call it the microwave mentality.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You know, nobody want to go through anything or whatever.
Nobody want to bake nothing anymore, huh?
Yeah, and so you have to learn those little different things about the game because, like I say, it's just like, okay, Dwayne, if you crashed in, we can be in the middle of the field. If you crashed in because it was a close first down, wouldn't you want me to wait till you get back on your sideline?
Yeah, that'd be great.
or now, watch this here, Dwayne. How many times you done did that and they didn't let you get back on and they snapping the ball with you backing out? Yeah. Right? So you know what that mean? You wasn't in position to officiate, right?
Nope.
So it's like learning little stuff like that. Like that umpire need to learn. Okay, you crashed in. Well, if he don't know, Dwayne, it's your responsibility to help educate him and say, hey, man, when we crash in, you know, even if they hadn't substitute, you need to hold the team up because you got to let us get back into position.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So if Tyler is working behind me and these guys keep coming in and they jawjacking and jawjacking, first of all, if you're working on the crew with me, you got to be a preventive officiating, and I'm not going to be the only one out there doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure everybody's held accountable to it. Like we say, it's a team sport.
Yeah,
we got to be the best team. So Tyler then came up in there because I'm not going to turn around because I hear something. Tyler coming up here to say something to to these kids and to get between them or whatever. The team trying to go fast. Oh, well, we're holding them up because we want to make sure Tyler is back far enough so he's, you know, yep. You know, the back judges, they're not as athletic as they
That's the umpires.
Yeah, they try to trick us. Yeah. You know, they call them sodas. Deep athletes, I've heard that's what they call them. But I'll tell them that acronym stands for something else. But that's another story. I've enjoyed this, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you for – that's a great final point about just, you know, holding people accountable and not just feeding them fluff. So I think that's a good point for younger officials.
Amen. So, amen. Thank you.
So yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, sir.
Again, congratulations.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Oh no, we love having you on. Congratulations on such a long and storied career. I'm sure we can talk a lot longer about the many exploits and stories and games. So I'm glad you shared some of those with us today.
Yeah, Michael, thanks so much for spending some time with us, and continue to give back as some folks have said, you know, you take it, you got to give it back. And we all appreciate that because it makes us better. And then it shares information, and because we don't know everything. So
yeah,
that's the best thing about this whole thing. So Michael, thanks so much for spending a little bit of time with us. And hope to talk to you again sometime soon.
Yeah, well, maybe after whatever I decide to do this upcoming year, maybe we can have an interesting conversation. I'll leave that at that.
Okay, look forward to it.
Okay, yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, right. Michael. Hey, take care of yourself. Thank you. Right. Take care. Bye-bye. Well, Mr. Cooper was great. Good. Man, what a career, huh? What a career.
Yeah. Long career. I mean, the fact that when people have those long careers, you have to like be flexible and adjust a lot and those sorts of things. And so I'm always impressed with that. Right.
Yeah.
You know, the different offenses, he had to go, you know, the new center judge position.
Mm-hmm. That came alternate.
Alternate. He had a part in actually developing that position.
Yes. So yes. Very interesting.
He didn't know that. So that was good. Not surprised that Walt was kind of at the
pioneer.
Forefront of that. Yeah.
Yep.
So just a lot of good information there.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. And keep giving back. I mean, he said it too. Keep giving back. And he'll take you down the road as long as it did him. So, okay. Another great talk. Loved it. Look forward to more to come in the future here. And Dwayne, I always enjoy my time speaking with you, and I hope you all enjoy the time with us as well.
Yeah, same, Tyler. Enjoy talking to you always.
Okay.
So we'll do it again.
All right, bud. Listen, have a good trip. We'll talk soon, and have a good night, okay?